Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
This episode of Home Sweet Home Chicago is sponsored by David Hochberg at Mega Pros Home Improvement and Restoration, Donna Sattler with REMAX at Home, Ray Kaplan, PermaSeal, and Jim Work from Silverthorne Homes. For additional sponsors of the Home Sweet Home program, please visit WGNradio.com/Home Sweet Home Chicago. Now, here's Home Sweet Home Chicago.
Of course, David is out today. My name is Lisa Dent. Thank you for listening to 720 WGN. You could probably call him right now or jump online at 56David.com. I wouldn't be surprised if he answered. He was texting me the whole time here, so I'm not really sure what he's doing today, but that's not unusual for David.
He just can't let go.
No, he can't. In fact, let's hit his big open. Let's do that.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Hello, Chicago!
My name is David Hochberg, host of Home Sweet Home Chicago.
That's the best in the city of Chicago.
Where are you from?
Chicago.
We're on a mission from God.
It's time for Home Sweet Home Chicago. Here's David Hochberg.
Lisa Dent, along with Donna Sattler from REMAX at Home, Ray Kaplan with the Kaplan Law Firm, and Frank Wazalewski with Access Elevator. All the experts assembled for Home Sweet Home Chicago. Our phone number, the MegaPro phone number, is 312-981-7200. Texts and calls are coming in because we've got experts here who are willing to answer any of your questions. And Donna, tell us about what it's like for first-time home buyers right now. They've got a lot of big hopes and dreams, right? But what is the reality? I would love to know this. Let me get you up on the right microphone here. There you go.
Test again?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, first-time homebuyers. You know what we saw at the beginning of the year? We saw that a lot of buyers were going out, looking for houses, finding ones they like, putting in an offer, only to be 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th offer in line. It was getting very, very competitive. Prices were going above list. Buyers were becoming really frustrated. And what we saw, like around August, they started kind of taking a step back, buyer's fatigue, if you will. And I think we're starting to see them coming back into the market again. But what I find is that sometimes the expectation is not The expectation is greater than the reality of the situation. So I kind of had 6 points that I wanted to go over. First being the home that you go on Zillow or you go on Trulia or you go on the REMAX site and you're looking at all these houses and they're all pretty and decorated, like coming straight out of Pottery Barn, looking super fabulous. And you're looking at that and you're saying, there seems to be a lot of great houses out there. Let's go out and take a look and see what's going on. And I think the expectation is that you are going to get in your price range everything that you want.
It's going to be Instagram worthy right off the bat.
Right off the bat. Nothing to do but unpack your bags and move in. Unfortunately, we have to be a little bit more flexible in terms of perhaps location. Maybe you might have to drive a little bit further to work. Or condition. Maybe be willing to put in a little elbow grease into cosmetic changes. Certainly not talking about major structural issues, but you know, maybe using your time and your creativity to create exactly what it is that you want. A lot of buyers think that they can go out and look for homes, and David will tell you this, that you know, he and I work very closely together, is you have to get pre-approved before you go out and start looking at homes. A lot of people are like, well, I'm not going to apply for a loan or start the process until after I find a home. Here's the mistake with that. By the time you get approved after you find the house that you like, somebody else has already bought it.
Exactly, especially in
Gone.
This environment.
Yes. So it's best to, the minute you start thinking about buying a home, is when you want to talk to David, get pre-approved, because when we submit an offer, we do have to put that pre-approval along with it. Vis-a-vis to what you were speaking about earlier, some people think they can buy a home on their own.
Or sell it.
Or sell it. And or they want to call the listing agent and they want to work with the listing agent only. Not necessarily a good move. Number one, the listing agent would then be involved in something that's called dual agency, where it would be representing both parties, both you and the seller. And all of a sudden, I just lost my train of thought.
Well, I'm guilty of that because we were looking at properties and I contacted the listing agent. Mm-hmm. And one listing agent said, no, absolutely not. You can work with someone else in my office, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to do dual agency. Mm-hmm. And of course, I was thinking I would save money.
No,
I thought,
and that's exactly wrong. And that's what a lot of people do think, because the contract that I have is with the seller as a listing agent. The seller's paying me the same amount of money whether I represent you and them or if I represent you.
I was hoping I'd just get 2.5% flat.
It doesn't work that way.
I learned.
It doesn't work that way, unfortunately. So, you know, I always recommend working with somebody who's working in your best interest and for you, and who knows what exactly is going on out there. They know the area, the homes, they know what to look for. A house can look really pretty when you walk in. Like I say, all pottery barned up and looking great. But once you start removing that and start looking at what's really going on in the house, I have a great deal of experience and knowledge in that area and kind of spot things that maybe you don't see as a buyer coming in there and being overwhelmed by the beauty of the presentation,
mm-hmm.
or the wrapping of the package, in other words.
Because people will use that to hide defects, to hide cracks, to hide broken windows, whatever it might be, correct?
Well, and I always tell my clients when they're looking at these houses that have been flipped, flippers will tend to sometimes, I'm not saying all, but they can hide defects.
Well, and they work cheap. I mean, the idea is for them to make money.
Correct.
Right, so
sure.
They're not going to put the best products in.
Correct.
Or the best workmanship.
But they're sure going to look good.
Yeah.
They're going to look pretty on the outside. And again, we want to take a little bit of a deeper look. So I can also identify what's a good deal and what's not a good deal. You know, sometimes you get involved in the whole excitement and emotionality of the sale, and you're not looking at the real deal. So next kind of reality versus hopes and dreams, the seller will fix any issues that come up with in a home inspection.
Mm-mm.
Not in this market. You know, they will certainly, we can certainly use major structural defects, radon, stuff like that, to negotiate either price or credit, but they're not going to fix all the little things that you can come up with. And many times those little small things, once you move in, you're going to completely forget about it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody were to do a home inspection at my house, the list would be this long.
Exactly.
Right? But I live there healthfully and safely, so.
Yeah. Can we continue your list in a minute? We're just
sure.
going to take a break. If you would like to ask Donna Sattler, she's a real estate agent with RE/MAX at Home. You have a question for her? You need advice? 312-981-7200. You can call us on the Mega Pros phone line. You can text us. Whatever you'd like, whatever works for you. We'll be back. She's got more of those points to make coming up next on Home
just
Sweet
two.
Home Chicago. Just two left. It's 720 WGN. I love the feeling of that song. My dad was a World War II vet, and that was a song that was near and dear to his heart. I'm Lisa Dent, in for David Hochberg. This is Home Sweet Home Chicago, and we have three experts in the studio today. We have Frank Wasilewski, who is all about helping veterans. He's with Access Elevator, and we're going to talk to him coming up. Ray Kaplan, an attorney with Kaplan Law Firm. She's got some really interesting information about student loans and those student loans that you as a parent took out in your child's name. And Donna Sattler is continuing the conversation right now. She's a real estate agent with RE/MAX at Home, and she had some points she was making about especially first-time home buyers and what their hopes are and their dreams are and really what the reality boils down to.
Yes, and I just have two other points. I don't want to, you know, go on and on here, but a lot of people think that the asking price is what they're going to pay. This may or may not be the truth. There's a strategy that I have been employing rather successfully, which is pricing homes just slightly under market to increase the exposure, increase the amount of activity, and kind of create that buying frenzy, which creates multiple parties of interest, multiple offers, which drives the price up 9 times out of 10 over market price for the seller. And that's, of course, when I'm representing the seller. So the asking price is not necessarily what you will pay. It could be, but a lot of times it's not. And then the final point that I had was, and I think we were kind of just talking about this in the break, is that some people are becoming so frustrated with trying to find a house, an existing house, they're thinking about building or buying land and building a house. There's two ways you can do that, going through a builder who's already creating a subdivision, and they've got the, you know, the parcels and the models and all of that, and you can go in there. What's happening with these homes now, because of the labor shortage, material shortage, price escalation, is that they are taking contracts with built-in price escalation, no guarantee of delivery, because of all these shortages that they're having, anything from labor to appliances to you know, materials, lumber, concrete, everything.
I'm living that.
Yeah. So it can be frustrating. And if you have the time and the money, it could be an option for you. The other option is, you know, buying a lot and hiring an architect, doing all the tests, bringing utilities to the property, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Again, if money and time is no object for you, that could be a route, but it could be a much more lengthy process than you might think. So those are kind of the what I would say are the reality versus the fantasy in terms of buyers out there right now. But on a good note, it is a good time for buyers to get out there with proper representation by a realtor. Because the inventory levels are increasing. We're still in a shortage situation, but we are seeing more and more homes come on the market. And we're seeing the prices not declining, not staying level, but escalating at a much lower rate than they have been.
If you are buying, selling, or just have questions about real estate, you really should pick up the MegaPros phone line or call us on the MegaPros phone line. That is 312-981-7200. You can also text us. So where do you think the market's going to go after the first of the year? Because let's face it, we're getting into the holidays. I would imagine it's got to slow down just a little bit.
A little bit.
What happens in 2022?
Oh, I think we're going to still remain strong through 2022. I think interest rates are going to remain relatively low. They're still going to be under... you know, you've got various people predicting, but I think we'll probably be well under 3.5. I don't know. Anything could happen. You know, we could have a world event that would change things, but interest rates are going to stay the same. Inventory will continue to increase. You're seeing more and more building going on out there, like in every town. You're seeing new townhouses, you know, communities being built. So it's going to be a great year next year. I think we're going to sell more nationwide than we did this year, and I think real estate's going to stay strong.
What happens to the people who bought this past summer that did go high on their bid, that got into a bidding war, that paid 30, 40, 50, 60,000 more than what the value really is?
I can only speak to us in the Midwest. I believe that we in the Midwest have been undervalued for a long time anyway. So what's going to happen is that it's going to level out. And again, I'm not predicting any huge decline in prices. So, you know, it is what it is. And the deal now is the interest rate. So when you're looking at your monthly payment, when you've got an interest rate of 3% versus 5, 6, 7%, or as when I bought my first house, 13%.
80s.
You know, so the deal now is the interest rate. It's not the price. So you're going to pay a little bit more, but your monthly payment's going to not reflect that as if you had the higher interest rates.
And did you see the article? Did any of you see the article, Ray or Frank or Donna, this week about the most expensive zip code in America?
I didn't, but isn't it usually Kenilworth?
Well, I'm talking nationwide.
Oh, nationwide?
Yeah, San Francisco area.
Well, yeah.
94027. It's Atherton, San Francisco. The median house price is $7.475 million. So,
wow.
Seven.
And it's a teardown.
Probably. Silicon Valley. They say San Francisco is the highest concentration of pricey zip codes. And for the fifth year in a row, this particular area of San Francisco, the median house price is $7.4 million.
I should move there and work.
Well, can you imagine? Can you imagine what you would get for selling one house there? But like you said, we are comparable. I mean, you've got Chicago, New York, San Francisco, L.A., and I mean, if you were paying $7.5 million for a house around here, it would be off the charts.
A big house.
Right. You'd get land. You'd have a pool. You'd have a tennis court.
Yeah.
Where I'm guessing in this part of San Francisco, you probably don't even have a yard.
No.
Yeah. So,
and again,
right about
I feel that we are undervalued in the Midwest. There's, you know, if you do compare us to other big cities, we are undervalued.
But if you overpay, you think that you're still solid if you overpaid this summer on a house.
Define overpaid.
Paid more than the asking price in excess of $40,000-$50,000.
Like 5%.
Yeah.
Again, I don't see the prices going down. So where do you lose?
You don't. Then,
you don't.
At that point.
Yeah.
I guess what we're asking, is there going to be a big bust? Is there going to be a bubble? Is it going to pop?
I say absolutely not. This is absolutely has nothing to do, is in no way similar to what happened in 2006 and 2007. That was a financial crisis. We're in an inventory crisis now. And we've had new home builds for the last 10 years have been way, way lower than they have been historically.
And is it just my perception, or do you believe it to be true that so many people sold their house because they could get a good price and are now living in an apartment or a condo, just riding it out until the inventory loosens up?
I have seen a lot of people sell their houses because now is a great time to sell. And they are moving to other states where taxes are less, which affects your monthly payment tremendously. Or they are renting homes or taking time and deciding what to do.
If that's you and you've got questions, the MegaPros number is 312-981-7200. We're going to talk with Ray Kaplan and Frank Wasilewski coming up on 720 WGN. Honoring veterans not just on one day but all weekend on Home Sweet Home Chicago. It's 720 WGN. I'm Lisa Dent in for David Hochberg. We are on Facebook Live. You can check it out right now. The ladies are taking over in the studio. When you mentioned that, Donna,
yes.
I mean, you kind of forgot about Frank here.
I didn't forget about Frank. I said it's usually me and four guys.
Yeah, that's true.
And now we got one, two, three, four fabulous women and one guy. So you can be the minority for a change.
You, of course, can check that out on Facebook Live, Home Sweet Home Chicago. Frank Wasilewski from Access Elevator is in the studio, as is Donna Sattler. She talked about first-time home buyers and your dreams and your realities. We'll recap some of that later on. Today's marketplace for homes has definitely changed. And we have Ray Kaplan in the studio. Everybody on the panel has found you so interesting because you had information, Ray, that we're like, really? We could have used that, or we didn't know about that. And so a few questions have come in on the MegaPros text line. Number one, are dentists included in the tuition relief program?
Well, if you work in the public sector, then the answer would be yes. But if you're in private practice, then that forgiveness does not apply to you unless you previously were employed in the public sector while making payments. So basically, the way to look at this is if you had federal student loans and you were employed full-time in the public sector from 2007 forward, because the program didn't come into existence until 2007. So payments before 2007 won't count in any case. But if you're in private practice, you're not eligible for public sector loan forgiveness. You have to be employed full-time in the public sector. That's a requirement that there's no getting around.
Okay, so 312 sent a text along those lines. My daughter is a physician's assistant at Northwestern Hospital. Undergrad from Northwestern. Loans are paid and got her PA from Northwestern. Has about $90,000 in loans. Is she eligible for any loan forgiveness?
She may be eligible for public sector loan forgiveness if the party that pays her, the employer on her W-2, is Northwestern. That's a 501c3. That's a not-for-profit. But if she works for the physician's private practice and they just happen to be located at Northwestern, then it's not going to count towards public sector loan forgiveness. So the key here is that your employer has to be that not-for-profit or that 501c3. So it doesn't count if you are in a private practice and you work at a not-for-profit. So it really is all about who is your employer and that you work full-time for them.
And these laws, and this changes all the time, and it seems like you've got all of this in your head.
Yep.
You're not looking at any papers, so this is something where you have to be schooled basically on a daily basis to keep up with what's changing.
Yes. I mean, I read the statute all the time. I read news from the Department of Education. I go and I look at congressional debates about the laws. And so, you know, just to always be familiar with not only what the current laws are, but the reason for them so that you know exactly how they're going to apply, and also to find out what they're thinking about in terms of tweaking the law or changes or amendments to the law. I actually think that what's going to happen, if we're talking crystal ball time here, is that the public sector loan forgiveness section of the statute was intended to be kind of a narrow opportunity for forgiveness by Congress. Not that many people knew about it. Now more and more people are knowing about it, and they're forgiving millions of dollars in loans. And I think that probably in around 2026 or 2027, if there's a, you know, there will be a new president, a new administration, the cost of this program is going to start to get more publicity, and it's going to become less popular. So you'll be grandfathered in if you've already taken out federal student loans now, or, you know, a few years ago, back to 2007, you should be fine. And probably all the way up to 2027 or so, I think around 2027, when there's a new administration, and they realize how much this program is costing, they may look to change it or shut it down or make it more difficult to access, because now there's just a lot of publicity about it. So more and more people know about it.
So do you think that the public or the school loan issue and the amount of debt that people carry in this country is unique to the United States, or is this something that we see in other countries as well?
It is unique to the United States, because a lot of other countries, they basically have it so that college and university is free or very or mostly subsidized by the government. And what's happened here is that it used to be, I know for my parents, when you would go to college, you could pay off your college loans for, directly from the university with a couple summers of work. You didn't have $150,000 in loans when you graduated from school, as kids do today. So, I mean, a lot of these private schools, they're $60,000, $70,000 a year for undergrad educations. And so kids are graduating with these huge mortgage-style student loans that they don't know how to handle. And what happened was that basically Congress decided to intervene and make college more accessible to everybody. And so they started to underwrite a lot of the loans that banks were making to students. And when that happened, colleges had no incentive, because they didn't really have skin in the game, to keep the tuition cost down. So the cost of tuition kept going up and up every year. And it still goes up every year. So with when there's no real skin in the game, if you know that the federal government is going to pay the bill, why would you keep the cost of tuition down? So I think that issue really needs to be addressed. An incentive for colleges to keep the cost of tuition just relatively reasonable.
Right, because the students today are feeling that burden. I have a kid that goes to Illinois State University, so I'm down there every once in a while, because it's not like he's out of state. I can see him. I had lunch with him today. And one of his students, a fellow student, said something like, oh yeah, well, when you went, you could go to school for the price of a Big Mac. And I turned around, I went like, well, what does that mean? You know?
What do you think, I'm 150?
Yeah. But they're angry. They're angry because they know they're going to graduate with a degree that is not a medical degree. It's not a legal degree,
right.
But they're going to be saddled with so much debt, and they look at other generations and go, you could survive. You could get out of college and buy a house.
Right.
We can't. We can't look forward to that.
Right. And so that's why I think it's really important to know and to understand what the resources are out there. There are a lot of really good resources. And after we come back on another break, I'll mention some of them. But there are a lot of sites that you can go to. There are scholarships for virtually everything. If your kid is involved in community service, if they play an instrument, there's probably a scholarship for them. And that's, you know, scholarships are basically our tuition. They reduce the amount of tuition that you have to pay. So if that's like another $20,000 off the cost of tuition every year, that makes a big difference. So there are great resources to find to match scholarships for students so that they don't have to take out that much. But the big problem is that there are caps on what the student borrower can take out in undergrad. So they fill out FAFSA every year, and they take they have to list their parents' income and assets. And then based on that information, like with a lot of WGN listeners, and they're making pretty good money, and their kids are not qualifying for much in federal student aid for their own loans. So then parents panic and they take out private loans. And that's really what I want to make sure WGN listeners do not do, is do not take out private student loans. We can help you take out federal Parent PLUS loans, because the repayment terms are so much better than private loan repayment terms. And a lot of people get bogged down in this. Well, is the interest rate going to be lower? Well, oftentimes with federal student loans, you don't care what the interest rate is going to be, which is set by Congress, by the way. You don't care because you're not going to pay it, because that's the way the repayment terms under the statute apply. So even if you take out $100,000 in federal Parent PLUS loans, oftentimes, very often, you don't pay back $100,000. You may pay back $50,000 and get forgiveness, not just for public sector, for private sector as well.
Okay, let's talk more about that. And if you have a question about that, pick up the phone and call Ray. Just call WGN. It's a MegaPros line at 312-981-7200. Or you can text us as well. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, there's a question from 773 that said, do you think President Biden will cut student loans as he promised in his campaign? Ray will have an answer coming up on 720 WGN. Saluting our vets all weekend long on 720 WGN. Frank Wasilewski is in here. We had a big Veterans Day promotion about getting a stair lift. He is from Access Elevator to a local veteran. We've got details about that coming up. Donna Sattler, a real estate agent with RE/MAX at Home, is in the studio. And to complete our panel of experts on Home Sweet Home Chicago, Ray Kaplan, attorney with Kaplan Law Firm. I'm Lisa Dent in for David Hochberg. The MegaPros phone line or text line is 312-981-7200. And Donna will be the first to tell you that we're on Facebook Live, the Home Sweet Home Chicago Facebook Live page. Wave to them, Donna. Hello. You can join us. Okay, so Ray, before we went to the break, the question was from 773, do you think President Biden will cut student loans as he promised in his campaign? Which is a political question. I mean, you can't predict what a politician is going to do, but what do you think?
No, I don't think it's going to be that kind of broad across the board forgiveness that he talked about during the campaign, and that a lot of Democrats are supporting the $10,000 to $50,000 off of everybody's federal parent or federal student loans, rather. I think what they're doing is they're doing targeted forgiveness, which is actually, I mean, this loosening up of the public sector loan forgiveness standards is going to result in at least 2 million borrowers getting huge student loan relief. So if you ever worked in the public sector full time and you had federal student loans, it's worth either giving us a call or going to visit studentaid.gov, and we certainly can help you. But for many people, it's wiping out their entire loan balances who were told previously that they didn't qualify. So those are the kind of things they seem to be doing. The previous administration made public sector loan forgiveness no longer a taxable event. So you don't have to pay federal income taxes on the amount of loan forgiveness that you get. Other things they did was we have a lot of WGN listeners who are clients who they're retired and they have some sort of a medical illness or an ailment that makes them eligible to have their entire loan balance forgiven under the disability section of the statute. That also is a tax-free forgiveness. So we had somebody very recently who had $150,000 in federal student loans. She was retired and had really bad glaucoma, and we had her entire loan balance forgiven under that section of the statute. We've had, I think it's over $4 million forgiven under that section alone. Forgiven.
Frank Wasilewski from Access Elevator is in here, and you've had so many questions for Ray during the break because you've got a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old, and you're looking at, you know, what you have to do to get them their college education as well. And Ray, so was the hope with this to encourage people to go into the public sector?
Yes,
to exactly. To help people to work for nonprofit organizations as a way to help get forgiveness for your loans.
That's right. And the law itself is really, it's great and it's very generous. It's just that the implementation of this great program is where Congress really didn't allocate a lot of money. So the servicers were telling people incorrect information. There was so much misinformation, disinformation, and confusion surrounding it that a lot of people just threw up their hands and said, and then they just kept making these large student loan payments that they really didn't need to be making.
And this is, if I could interject for just a minute, this is why people need to talk to people like you, whose entire business is looking at all this stuff and getting the best solutions. I'm a big fan of going to the professionals. Let the baker bake the bread, as they say.
Right. Because, you know what, we've seen a lot of people just leave a lot of money on the table.
Yeah.
And look, at least if you have the information, look, you can either do this and potentially save $100,000. We also have people who say, it's not for me. I just want to pay my debt. I don't care. And that's fine, too. Mm-hmm. It's just that you should have the information and make an informed decision.
Exactly.
Frank
Wasilewski. That's why you go to you.
Oh, sorry, Donna.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Missouri.
I love this because we talked about this. You have to hire a specialist these days. There's too much information for all of us to consume on every level of life. If you don't hire the baker to bake the bread, then, you know, you're kind of losing out a little bit. Right. So that's Donna Sattler. She's a real estate agent with RE/MAX at Home. We'll talk more about her business coming up. Frank Wasilewski from Access Elevator is in here, and you wanted to address something about this because you do have kids going to college.
Yeah, and you know, I've learned more in the last hour here with Ray than I have in the last 20 years of planning for this. So I'm looking forward to actually sitting down with my wife and Ray and actually looking at our plan to see if it is the right plan, because Ray has some phenomenal ideas, and I think everybody should take advantage of that. And really, even if you don't follow the plan, take the time to learn what's actually out there and available for you to prevent your kids from going into these major debts to begin with.
And Ray, how can people find you?
Call us at 312-294-8989, or our website is financialrelief.com. And we do create customized strategies for individuals, parents, students, and so that you'll know exactly what it's going to look like. And I think that's so important, is the planning, the pre-debt planning, not just kind of reacting. And a lot of, you know, a lot of parents do that because they just want to get their kid into the best school possible. And then they get into the school and then it's, oh my God, how are we going to pay for this?
We've got some calls here. I'd like to go to line one. John from Glen Ellen wants to talk about a public sector employee and how long. Go ahead. Let's just put him on the air. Connor, hit that phone. I want to say good morning, John. Oh my God, I felt like I was filling in for Mom Surratt for a moment. It's nighttime. We're usually on at, you know,
it's
at 10
outside.
In the morning. It is getting dark. Hey, John, how are you today?
Good. You got me on that too. I was going to say good evening. Time change. I get it.
What's your question for Ray?
So, for a public sector employee, do they have to have 10 years of continuous student loan payments before anything could be forgiven?
So the rule is that you do have to have 120 qualifying payments, and qualifying payments is where people really ran into some trouble over the years because they were in the wrong payment plan, or sometimes Fed Loan would actually round their payment down by a penny and then it wasn't a qualifying payment. All kinds of crazy things went on. I know. But so now they're saying those payments will count. The times that won't count are, and this is actually a little unclear. We need some clarity from the Department of Ed. But we know that deferment won't count towards public sector loan forgiveness, and most forbearance won't count towards public sector loan forgiveness. But COVID forbearance, these last 22 months from March of 2020 through January of 2022, will count towards public sector loan forgiveness. So even if they made $0, you know, zero payments for these 22 months, those are 22 months that will count towards that magic 120 that you need. And the payments don't have to be consecutive, which is great because people bounce around. So sometimes, you know, you work in the public sector for a year or two, then you go to the private sector, then you go back to the public sector. That's okay. We can pick up where we left off and get those payments to count.
Thank you for your call, John.
I was just going to ask one more question. Is the same apply for a Parent PLUS loan as well?
You know what? We're going to answer that question coming up next. We've got a line of phone calls. Will you remember that one,
yes,
Ray?
Yes, I will.
All right, excellent. We got to take a break. The news is coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Oh, the stories that are flying in the studio today are priceless. I love the team that David has assembled here. This is Home Sweet Home Chicago. I'm Lisa Dent. David is off today. Of course, you can always reach out to David, especially if you are in need of securing pre-approval for a home loan. You need to do that before you shop for a house. You can go to WGNDavid.com, or of course you can go to 56David.com. You know, he's so easy to find, isn't he? I swear, you if he was walking down the street, you'd know he was there.
He's everywhere.
He is everywhere. There's no doubt about it. So in the studio, Donna Sattler, real estate agent with RE/MAX at Home, Frank Wasilewski with Access Elevator, which the help you offer people to keep them in their homes and to help their mobility issues is so amazing. I can't wait to catch up with you about that, because you must feel rewarded every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a good story to tell you about that one.
Okay, good. And Ray, the last question from a caller prior to our break was about personal, or about parental loans.
Right, Parent PLUS loans, federal Parent PLUS loans, and the caller asked whether or not Parent PLUS loans are eligible for public sector loan forgiveness. So they are not, unless you consolidated them into a direct consolidation federal student loan. So be careful here. Don't consolidate them with a private lender, because then you lose all the benefits under the federal statute. You have to do a federal consolidation and turn them into a federal student loan, a federal consolidation loan, rather. So the other thing is that the public sector loan forgiveness waiver, that kind of loosening of the rules that we were talking about, does not apply to federal Parent PLUS loans that have not been consolidated. So if you have questions or you're unsure, give us a call and we can kind of sort it all out for you and see which ones might be eligible, which ones might not be, and what we can do, if anything, to get them eligible. But in general, if you had taken out federal Parent PLUS loans and you consolidated them, then they are going to be eligible for public sector loan forgiveness.
Okay, we've got just about a minute for a phone call here. Let's jump over to the person on line two. I know that you feel like you're stuck with your kids' loans and you want to know if there's any forgiveness for that. Go ahead and tell Ray what your situation is all about.
Okay, I'll make it quick. The situation is that when my child graduated high school and applied for loans, the rates were lower if you took out the Parent PLUS. So I have both federal and private. She was going to take over the loans at a certain point, so she asked me to put them on forbearance and that she'd be prepared when the forbearance was over. I knew nothing. I did it, and I'm still paying for the loans. I've been paying for over 10 years. I have taken advantage of the loan that was frozen until the end of January, but it'll be back up to $800 a year. A month.
Ooh,
is right. There any kind of forgiveness in the works? I've heard rumors. Is there anything?
May I ask you a question? Do you work right
sure.
now, presently?
I do. My husband is retired. He had hurt his back, and he is retired.
Okay. Are you planning on retiring anytime soon or within the next 5 years?
I only wish.
Okay. Yeah, right now you just feel so burdened with all this debt.
So keep in mind that So federal Parent PLUS loans, when you retire, we can recalculate the payment to drastically reduce that payment for you. So for most people, once they retire, they're all worried that, oh my God, how am I going to make this payment? The answer is you won't have to once you retire. For many times, that payment even goes down to zero until the loans are forgiven. So give us a call. Let's analyze your student loans and see what we can do. As to the private student loans, we might be able to get them to agree to a reduced balance settlement. We'll see. That's something that's kind of a process, but 90% of the time we can help you.
And okay. That's what you needed to hear, that there is someone here who can help you. You can reach out to Ray Kaplan at rkaplan@financialrelief.com. And good luck with that. It's just heartbreaking to feel like you're saddled with all of that debt. And once kids turn 18, you don't really know what they're doing because they can kind of do what they want.
Right. But with federal Parent PLUS loans, though, there's a lot of confusion out there. And often, you know, as the caller said, their kids agree to take over the loans, but then mm-hmm. something happens and they can't do it. With federal Parent PLUS loans, your kids are not legally responsible on those loans. It's just the parents' loans. Even though you took them out for the purpose of financing your child's education, your kids aren't legally responsible. But again, don't worry about it, because most of the time, the way the statute and the repayment terms apply, you won't really have to pay back that loan.
All right, we'll take a break. We've got a great story coming up from Frank Wazalewski from Access Elevator. That's on the way at 720 WGN. We're honoring veterans this weekend in honor of Veterans Day on Thursday. This is Home Sweet Home Chicago. I'm Lisa Dent in for David Kapberg. Kaplan.
Oh. Kapberg. I love it.
He won't kill me.
Oh, you know wait what? A minute.
What?
I'm remembering that.
One of the producers will play that back for him, and I'll never host this show for him again.
Oh, be like, I am remembering that one.
That's Donna who's over there threatening me. Donna
no,
Sattler.
No, no, not threatening you, but I got something good for David.
Oh, I like it. She's a real estate agent with RE/MAX at Home, and Ray Kaplan is the name that I got mixed up with David. She's an attorney with Kaplan Law Firm, and Frank is still giggling about it. That's Frank Wazalewski from Access Elevator. I've heard you on the show for the past few weeks. What a fantastic promotion we had, where you were honoring a veteran with a stair lift, at everything taken care of. No cost to them, except they would have to pay the federal taxes, because that's law in any kind of radio contest. And
to clarify that, they have to claim it as income.
Oh,
whether
right.
or not they pay taxes or actual taxes is dependent on their entire income for the year.
And you have veterans in your family.
Yes.
And it's a cause that's near and dear to your heart. And I'm so glad that you brought it to us and that you were willing to do this. And tell everybody what happened when you awarded this to one veteran from Chicago.
We went out and saw Gary from Chicago. I'm sorry, James from Chicago. Everything was, you know, fantastic. The evaluation went well. And then the next day he called up and said that he didn't want it because his daughter would like him to use the stairs more, and she was afraid that he would use the stairlift and not walk. Very much respect that. But the other thing he said was, there's somebody else out there that's going to use it more than me, so get it to them.
So typical of a veteran.
Typical of a veteran. Gotta love them.
Yeah, absolutely. Just giving and continuing to give back. And so this continues, and another person will be chosen from all of the entries, and we will keep you up to date 1 week from today when David is back and we choose another veteran. And so you said you had a great story. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so we had mentioned, you know, about how what we do actually impacts people's lives, and it's a very rewarding profession. And on my way here, one of my technicians, Ronnie, was out at a client site, and he called me and we were talking, and he goes, Frank, I'm going to be 59 this year. I'm like, 59? I'm like, God, I'm getting old, Ronnie. How long, you know? I'm like, you looking to retire soon? And he goes, you know, Frank, as long as I can walk, I'm going to be out there helping people because this is the best job ever.
Oh, you know? Because I can imagine the letters you get, and I can see in your eyes you were getting choked up saying that.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
You must get letters and you must get feedback from customers, because when you, like you said, are trapped in your house, or maybe you can't get to the second floor to use the bedroom that you choose to sleep in, or you don't want to sleep in the living room, or you need to get up those 4, 5, 8 steps, depending on where you live, to get in and out of your home, it changes your life. This is life-changing stuff.
And that's one of the things Ronnie said. He's like, you never get tired of that light in the eye that goes on when that lift starts working and they know they can get to that part of their house again.
I bet.
You know, they're not trapped anymore.
That's really a good feeling. And how long have you been in business?
So Access itself has been in business since 1990. We've been in Illinois since 2010.
I got a text here from 224 that said, for stair lifts, my wife is a little large, 350 pounds plus. My mom, who is 93, weighs 85 pounds soaking wet. Do you have a lift for both weights?
Yes. So we do have a lift for both weights. Now, to put them both on the same staircase would be a trick. So the best thing to do there is you cater towards the larger person.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have cushion add-ons that you could put into the chair to make it smaller for the smaller person.
Perfect.
So that it's a safer ride and you're not floating around in the
seat. Right. Was there a belt?
Always. Always a seatbelt. And we absolutely recommend using that.
Yeah.
And you must put these in commercial places as well.
Stair lifts in a commercial setting is rare. I mean, we might do one or two a year. It's very rare to get approved. Typically, in a commercial setting, it has to carry an entire wheelchair.
Mm.
You know, so it has to, the wheelchair and the person, without having to transfer in and out of a wheelchair.
Oh.
And how can people get in contact with you? Because I think when people are faced with this, even talking about someone's mobility, especially with an older parent, is sometimes a tough conversation to have, where you want to have the facts and the info, because the first thing an older person is going to say is, how much is that going to cost?
How much is that going to cost? And I don't need that yet. Those are the two things we hear the most.
Exactly. So if people want to talk to you, how can they contact you, Frank?
They can reach us at 630-616-6249 or at all about access.com.
And who's your typical customer?
That's a really good question. We have clients that are 4 or 5 years old and up into the centennials. So, I mean, every demographic is our client.
We forget there are children who are fighting with cerebral palsy and other
birth defects, medical, you know, emergency, you know, things go wrong, car accidents. You know, it affects everybody. So there's no one demographic.
You're right, because as I was listening over the past few weeks and hearing you, I was just thinking about older people with mobility issues, but it affects everybody of every age.
Very big misconception.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, give Frank a call because he's willing to have that conversation with you. And speaking of calls, on the MegaPros line at 312-981-7200, we've got a question for you, Ray. It's Patricia in Chicago. And Patricia, you wanted to ask a question about loans and what the pandemic did to these types of loans. Go ahead. Say hi to Ray.
Hi, Ray. I listen to John Williams all the time, and you've been on there multiple times.
Yep.
And I think a few months ago you said that if you've been paying your loans through the pandemic, you could get that money back.
Right. Correct.
But then would that money go to the end of the loan?
So here's how it works. So first of all, it applies if you have direct student loans, direct federal student loans. So you can check out what type of student loans you have by logging into your servicer. Do you know who services your loans? Is it Fed Loans or Navient, one of those guys?
It's like Allnet.
Nelnet. Okay. So, yeah, you can log in there and see what type of loans you have. They probably are federal direct loans if they're serviced by Nelnet. And for those payments that you made over the 22 months with where COVID forbearance was applying, you can have them refund all of those payments back into your account. And they're actually pretty quick about it. Now, what was nice about the COVID forbearance under the CARES Act is that it froze all interest from accruing on your loan. So your loan was just completely frozen and you weren't required to make any payments. So if you've made payments, and because what people don't understand is when you make payments, the first part of the any payment will go towards any unpaid interest that's accruing. So you probably were making those substantial payments that were knocking down the principal of your loan. So it's kind of a, right, a individual decision as to whether or not you need that money or you want that money back. You might not want all of it back. Maybe you just want some of it back. But they're pretty flexible about that too. So you might want to take a look and see how much you actually reduced your loan balance and whether or not you want that money back. The other thing to consider is that, you know, if you're somebody out there who's retired and you have a some sort of an illness or an ailment where we can get the loan completely forgiven for you under that disability section of the statute, then maybe you do want to get that money refunded, and then we can get the loans forgiven altogether in one fell swoop. So in that situation, you definitely want to get the money back, because we don't really, you don't really care in that situation if you're paying down the principal or not.
All right. Thank you very much. I will email you.
Sure. Anytime. Financialrelief.com or just give us a call at 312-294-8989.
Have a beautiful day, Patricia. Thank you for your phone call. It's the Mega Pros line. You can also text us at 312-981-7200. And Frank, coming up after the news, I want to talk about financing. And can you get a loan for this type of product that you put into people's homes? There's got to be financing options, correct?
There's a lot of options.
Okay, good. We'll talk about that. The way you looked at me, I thought, oh, is there not financing for this? And then I want to see how it interacts with real estate.
Ooh.
You know, like, is that an asset to have in your home? What kind of special considerations do you need when selling a home that has a stair lift? And so we'll mix it all up here. So in the studio is not only Ray Kaplan, who you just heard, an attorney with Kaplan Law Firm, but Donna Sattler, real estate agent with REMAX at Home, and Frank Wasilewski with Access Elevator. If you have questions for any of them, pick up the phone and give us a call. This is your chance to get free advice from an expert panel. We're going to check out the news right now on 720 WGN. Home Sweet Home Chicago is honoring veterans all weekend long on 720 WGN. I'm Lisa Dent in for David Hochberg. I've got a panel of experts here, and if you want to talk to them, you can text or call on the MegaPros line at 312-981-7200. Let's talk about David Hochberg for a minute, since he's texting us and listening and he's got the day off. Apparently,
you mean David Keckberg?
Apparently, he is so excited that he is filling in for Bob Surratt on Black Friday that he can't get over it.
Uh-huh.
Why? I mean, he talked about it last week a lot, right? Mm-hmm. I heard it nonstop. What do you think about that? What's your take on that? Why is he so excited about doing the morning show the day on Black Friday?
Well, personally, I have to say it's a great thing because I'm going to be there with him.
Oh, you're going to be there with him?
That's why he's so excited.
So he's bringing the whole team in.
And
is
we'll
that
see
what
if
he's
he
doing?
Gets my name right that day.
Oh, yeah. Frank was just saying, thank you for getting my name right, because David never does. It's Frank Wasilewski from Access Elevator, and he's got such great stories about how many people he helps. And also with us is Donna Sattler, a real estate agent with REMAX at Home, and we're going to try and mix their two businesses together. And there is some overlap.
Indeed.
Especially when selling or buying homes that have elevators or different products that make life more accessible for those who have issues or challenges, right?
Mm-hmm. There is.
And Ray's going to leave at 5 o'clock. So if you got to get a question in for Ray, she is an attorney with Kaplan Law Firm. And during the breaks, we're all asking questions, especially Frank, because he's got a 15 and 17-year-old. I've got a 20-year-old who's going to college right now. And everybody really wants to know about what the parents are on the hook for.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's so important to plan ahead. And we really like the aspect of the pre-debt planning because there's so much more control that way, and you can make just much better decisions when you know the lay of the land and, okay, here's how it will work if I take out federal loans. And for your son, I don't know if he's planning on going to grad school, but for graduate school, there's no cap on what the student borrower can take out. So let's say your kid wants to go to medical school or law school. You're not going to need to take out federal parent plus loans. The student borrower can take out graduate plus loans, and you can find those at studentaid.gov. And basically, your entire cost of tuition plus room and board is covered by graduate plus loans, and there are no payments while you're in school. The payments don't start until after you graduate, and then we can put you on an income-based repayment plan, which is essentially 10% of your gross disposable income is the payment until either 10 or 20 years, and then the balance is forgiven. And that is something a lot of people don't know. I think a lot of people get nervous about going to grad school because they think they're not going to be able to afford it. How are they going to pay for it? Well, the answer to that is truly federal graduate plus loans.
I didn't raise a doctor or a lawyer. He is going to be a high school English teacher, and that's what he wants to do, is go back and teach English at his high school.
Oh,
so
great.
At that point, I would imagine our plan is like, get that job out of school, you know, get settled, then go to grad school, work on increasing your salary and writing that book that you want to write and doing mm-hmm. all of those things. Let's just get through these 4 years first.
Well, right. And then he's going to be eligible for public sector loan forgiveness after 120 payments if he's teaching in a public school.
And yeah, he knows about that.
Right. There's also teacher loan forgiveness too, depending on, he's teaching English, so he might be able to get a few $1,000s off if it's a Title I school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's all interesting stuff, and this is why everybody on the panel was saying, geez, we need to go and sit down with Ray Kaplan, because we cannot possibly keep up with the change in all of these laws and every line-by-line item that you know that you make your life and your business. And
right.
You did that because you started researching for yourself.
Yes. I was researching for my own federal student loans because I was being told wildly different things by whoever I would get on the phone at the servicer. So Navient is my federal loan servicer. And, you know, Navient is actually they're actually a pretty good servicer. There are complaints, because I think anytime you're servicing millions and millions of, you know, student borrowers and student loans, there are going to be mistakes that are made. But I was being told very different things. And so when I realized that it was one particular statute that governs all things federal student loans, it made things much easier, because I am a particular fan of statutory law. I like it because it's more black and white than other areas of the law. So we started really becoming familiar with the statutes and going to conferences, and there are other student loan attorneys throughout the country, but very few of us. So we usually get together a couple of times, once every 2 years, really. And there are just so many benefits that people are not aware of. I mean, we've had so many loans just forgiven tax-free, and there's no downside, which is another reason I really enjoy this area of the law, because we can wipe out somebody's $150,000 or $200,000 in federal student loans, and there's no negative credit implications, because you're not doing anything. Like, there's a downside with bankruptcy, right? It's mm-hmm. going to stay on your credit for 10 years. You know, you can rebuild your credit, so it's not like it used to be. But this is non-bankruptcy student loan law, where there is no negative impact on your credit.
I think a lot of people are frightened about bankruptcy lawyers, no
right.
offense to you, because they see those ads and they go, we'll erase your debt, come see us. And
right.
There are a lot of people out there who are not doing good work, or
right.
maybe that's not their intention. Their intention is just to make money.
Right. Well, the bankruptcy code, bankruptcy laws are a tool like anything else. It is appropriate for some people to file a bankruptcy and to get a fresh start. Look, Donald Trump filed bankruptcy a couple times. He wound up being president of the United States. I mean, it's not a as detrimental as it used to be.
Or a stigma. It used to be a
much more. You're right. It used to be much more of a stigma. You can get an FHA guaranteed mortgage 2 years after you file for a bankruptcy. So, you know, you can file a bankruptcy. And for a lot of people, it makes sense. But for many people, it does not make sense, especially if your primary debt is student loans, because of the statute that applies to student loans, we can largely avoid having to file bankruptcy.
So if you have a question about student loans, you have a question about bankruptcy, or especially about the loans that parents take out and their kids say, I'm going to help you pay them back, Mom. And then they can't come up with a job that makes enough money to pay them back.
Well, there's also some really interesting proposed legislation to change the bankruptcy laws back to what they were prior to 2005. So it used to be that you could get rid of student loans in a bankruptcy. But they changed the law in 2005 to make it so that basically most of the time student loans are non-dischargeable, for sure with federal student loans, unless you can show something called an undue hardship, which is a very high legal standard. And for private student loans, I would say they are dischargeable about 40% of the time. Sometimes people come to see us and they don't have federal loans, they have private loans. Private loans we're much more hemmed in. There aren't as many options for private student loans, but there are still options. We can negotiate reduced balance settlements. We had one recently who had $150,000, $180,000 actually, I think her balance was, private student loans, and we were able to negotiate a reduced balance settlement of $50,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's life-changing money.
Huge. It's a huge difference to get rid of $100,000 in debt. Yeah.
So if you have any questions about that, pick up the MegaPros line right now. Just call us 312-981-7200. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll take your calls, address your text messages, and get more information from everyone on our panel. That's Donna Sattler, real estate agent with RE/MAX at Home, Ray Kaplan, who you just heard, who's an attorney with Kaplan Law Firm, and Frank Wasilewski from Access Elevator. It's all on the way. It's 720. This is Home Sweet Home Chicago on WGN. We're celebrating our veterans on Home Sweet Home Chicago. I'm Lisa Dent on 720 WGN. David Hochberg has the day off. He'll be back next weekend, and of course on Black Friday, filling in for Bob Surratt, which he's very excited about, because here's the deal. I love his passion about radio. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of amazing that he loves radio so much. It's not like he's doing it for financial reasons or anything. He just likes it, and he's so excited about filling in for Surratt. I can't imagine what he's going to do with that morning show. And Frank, I wouldn't imagine that you know what's going to happen either.
It's going to be entertaining.
Down here on Black Friday?
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be killer traffic.
Yeah, book your spot right now through Spot Hero if you're parking. Yeah. Ray Kaplan is also in the studio. Ray is a bankruptcy lawyer, but knows anything and everything about student loans. And I got a question here, and it says, my husband and I are older parents and will be retired when our son starts college. If we have no other income than retirement income, will he qualify for more financial aid than if we were working?
So the answer is yes, probably. What they do is when you fill out FAFSA, which is the free application for student aid, they take into consideration your family's income. So he's considered a dependent until he's the age of 24. So they're going to take into consideration your income. And then based on that income, they're going to apply a formula called the estimated rate of family contribution, and then decide how much he's eligible for in his own student loans. But remember, if it doesn't cover the entire cost of tuition, you or your husband could take out federal Parent PLUS loans to fill in, you know, the entire deficiency balance. And then the thing to remember there is the borrower should be whoever is going to be making less money when those loans become due and payable. So essentially, however, I think 4 years later. So when those loans become due and payable, the statute is going to apply to the borrower. So for example, if you make less than your husband, or are going to be making less in retirement income, because not all retirement income is taxable income, but much of it is. So you want to see who makes less in taxable income when those loans become due and payable, and then the payment is going to be based on that number. So whoever is making less should really be the borrower. I know that's counterintuitive, but That's the way it is. You don't want the person making the most money to take out the federal Parent PLUS loans.
I'm just intrigued that both parents aren't on the same loan. I guess that's why I need your help. I think most people don't think about seeking out legal help or representation when it comes to student loans, but I would have thought that both people were on the hook for it.
No, because it's whoever signs the master promissory note. That's the borrower. And the nice thing about federal Parent PLUS loans too, that's very different from private loans, is that if, God forbid, something happens to the borrower, so let's say one of the parent who takes out the Parent PLUS loans passes away, those loans are completely forgiven. They don't go after the estate. They don't go after the spouse. They don't go after the children.
Really?
Those loans are just wiped out. Yep.
How about divorce?
Well, no, that doesn't matter. So it's whoever takes out the federal Parent PLUS loan is going to be liable for that loan. But again, the way the repayment terms apply to that borrower oftentimes is fantastic, and you don't even end up paying what you took out.
Wow.
Ray is with us just for about another 7 minutes. So if you have a question about this, MegaPro's line is 312-981-7200. I have a question. I don't even know if you can answer this, but I got divorced probably, I don't even know, maybe 12 or 14 years ago. And in Kane County, they make you go to divorce class and you meet with lawyers and people, mediators, and you're with a whole group of other people because your divorce will not be approved unless you understand everything that you need to manage. And one of the things that came up was that if you are a child of divorce, your parents are liable. They're forced to pay a certain percentage of your college education.
Yeah, that's interesting. So how the marital settlement agreements, which is a court order essentially, how does that play into this? So sometimes we do need to take a look at that, because let's say the marital settlement agreement calls for the father to be responsible for the college tuition, then he's got to be the federal Parent PLUS loan borrower. Otherwise, he could be in violation of that marital settlement agreement, the MSA. So it also depends on what kind of relationship the divorced parents have, because, you know, is that ex-wife going to really hold your feet to the fire for not complying with the terms of that agreement? If you don't take out federal Parent PLUS loans, that's kind of between you two. Because we have had situations where it makes more sense for the person not nominated in that MSA to be the federal Parent PLUS loan borrower, because that person will have to pay back, you know, almost nothing over 10 or 20 years, and the entire balance is forgiven. So oftentimes we do have to work that out between the parents.
Interesting. So it's best that you get along and you go see Ray and figure this stuff out, or it's going to cost everybody more money. A text just came in from 630. How do college 529 accounts affect FAFSA? I'd like to set up a 529 account for my grandchildren who are 4 and 6 years old now. Should they be in my name or their mother's name?
Well, that is an excellent point. So in terms of pre-debt planning, if you can have a grandparent set up the 529 in their name, so the kids are the beneficiaries, that's fine. But that way, that income in that 529 won't have to be included in FAFSA, so it won't count against them. But if the 529 is one of the parents, it is going to count against them and mean that they're eligible for less aid.
And when you do FAFSA, and let's say you are divorced, you can choose what parent files, or does it have to be the person with custodial?
It's the person with whom the child spends 50% or more of their time.
Okay.
Yeah.
FAFSA's due next week. I keep getting the emails. I'm like, yes, I'm getting on it. Okay, I'm working on it. And then I call my kid, Liam, get this stuff done. You're smiling, Frank, because let me tell you, it comes fast and furious.
Yes.
And you're like, I need this paperwork together now.
It's a pain, but it's worth it to do it every year, because the benefit definitely is it's huge usually.
And will you cover one more time the, we've got 60 seconds left, about the pandemic.
Right.
Forgiveness or you don't have to pay back.
Right. So there's something called a PSLF waiver. So if you were employed full time in the public sector from 2007 forward, and you had student loans, federal student loans, and you were told that your payments didn't count towards public sector loan forgiveness, they have completely loosened the rules for the next year. So the reason that they did that and had this kind of expiration date on it is it's because it's by an executive order and not an act of Congress. So they had to do it through the Department of Education, through an executive order. And so it's a limited thing. So you have to get these applications in to get credit for those payments that were previously not eligible for public sector loan forgiveness. Now they likely will be eligible. So huge benefit. I mean, it really is a huge, it's a very big deal.
Reach out to Ray at financialrelief.com, rkaplan at financialrelief.com. The news is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. You learn so much on this show. I learn just hosting it when I fill in for David Hochberg. My name is Lisa Dent. Thank you so much for listening. Two experts on the panel, Donna Sattler, as you just heard, with RE/MAX at Home, and Frank Wasilewski from Access Elevator. And Frank, when we hear the term or the name of your company, Access Elevator, we just think elevators or we think stair lifts. But when in fact you do all kinds of products that increase mobility for people who have those challenges.
Yeah, so in addition to the stair lifts and elevators, which tend to get all of the the headlines, mm-hmm. we do the ceiling mounted lifts, which help people get out of the bed and into a wheelchair or in and out of a bathtub, and we do incline platform lifts and small commercial lifts, and then we do home modifications. So very small, we are a full licensed general contractor, so we'll do small bathroom remodels, make a shower accessible and safe, widen doorways, build ramps.
And it all comes about quickly. Like you mentioned, if somebody's in a car accident or somebody's has an injury and all of a sudden they need a ramp to their house when they're released from their, rehab facility or the hospital, is one of those things that you must get calls of people in panic saying, I need this now.
Yeah. It's a good and a bad thing. I mean, yeah. I've always said I will love the day when I never have a client. That would be a great day in America to not have a need for my products. But yes, you're right. When somebody needs it, they need it. And we got to be out there to help.
You can reach out to Frank at frank@allaboutaccess.com. And Donna is in real estate. Donna Sattler, real estate agent with RE/MAX at Home. And I was wondering how his business overlaps with your business, because is it a benefit to have an elevator in a home when you're trying to sell it?
Elevator?
Elevator.
Yes.
Ah.
An elevator can make your life a lot easier. I've seen homes that have elevators because there's three stories. It's great for entertaining if your kitchen is on one level and you've got the party going on in the basement. If your garage is in the basement, you got groceries, you can bring them up to the first floor. And it kind of gives you a certain elan, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's a fabulous.
Not only that.
I've got an elevator in my house.
Right. But with the residential elevator, a lot of people want a first floor master, and buying a large lot of land to be able to do that and still have the living room, kitchen, dining room that you want doesn't always happen. So the elevator gets you. I mean, you have an accessible means to get somebody up and down.
Mm-hmm. And do you see that some people just want it because it's kind of cool, like she was mentioning, or is it always about accessibility?
Honestly, 15 years ago when I got into this business, it was more about because it's cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now the elevator has become a more common item to go into homes as mm-hmm. they're going up the new construction, townhomes, mm-hmm. Brownstones down here in Chicago. They're mm-hmm. five stories. You got parties on the roof and your garage is in the basement and you got to get everything up there. There's one going in almost every one of them.
Interesting. Yeah, it's not unheard of in the city, but when you get out to the burbs, it's a little more unusual, I would imagine, unless you've got a house that has multiple floors.
And higher end homes.
Absolutely. So you're saying, if you're talking about a high-end home, 5-6, maybe a million, mm-hmm. Not unusual to have an elevator, and it is an asset.
I would say yes.
Absolutely. Okay.
Stair lift.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the stair lift coming up, because that's Frank's business as well. He puts in stair lifts. And in fact, we had a big promotion on 720 WGN on Home Sweet Home Chicago for Veterans Day. And we'll talk about that and the winner of that prize coming up after we take a break. It's Home Sweet Home Chicago on 720 WGN. We celebrate veterans even today on 720 WGN. This is Home Sweet Home Chicago. I'm Lisa Dent in for David Hochberg. He'll be back next week, and then, of course, he's filling in on Black Friday because he thinks that's the coolest thing in the world to get up at 5 a.m. and fill in for Bob Surratt. And he wrangled you into the deal, too, Frank.
Yes, he did. So it'll be no sleep for me.
No sleep for you.
Donna, I hope you're doing Black Friday shopping and not coming in to do that show.
You know what? I've never gone out and gone shopping on Black Friday, but I often said, maybe I should.
You know, you get some great deals. I mean, as long
as you
stay above the fray and out of the chaos and that kind of thing.
Sometimes I value my life because you always see a story where somebody gets trampled to death on Good Friday somewhere.
Just the people watching is worth the trip.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So if you want to be a part of the show or you have a question about real estate or accessibility within your home, maybe you have an older person who is having trouble navigating the stairs, or maybe they can do the stairs, but you're worried about them falling. Maybe you have someone in your family who's been in a car accident, or we were talking about kids with CP who might not be able to navigate your house the way they need to. You can make it accessible. That's what Frank does for a living. It's Frank Wazalewski, and he's with Access Elevator. And you were talking about all the products, which I find amazing. And one of those that you were giving away to a veteran in honor of Veterans Day was a stair lift. And tell everybody what happened when you awarded that to James of Chicago.
So James initially was very excited about it, and then the next day called us up and said that he thought that another veteran deserved it more than would get more use out of it than he would after talking about it, you know, with his family, that he's going to continue using the stairs for now.
They wanted to encourage him to continue using those legs and doing that, and
which is a good thing, as long as he can do it.
Adult kids get involved. Adult kids go, Dad, you're not doing that. And that's what happened. So if you didn't get the call and you were hoping because you were nominated or you entered in that and you didn't get the call last week, hang on because somebody else is going to get it. All right. So let's talk about that, Donna. Let's say you have a stair lift in your house and maybe it's time that you move.
Mm-hmm.
How easy is it to sell a house with a stair lift?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. It's not necessarily an asset. It certainly will reduce your pool of buyers for somebody looking with that added feature. But what I did discover today, which is excellent news for me, is that you will remove them, and the owner or the new owner can donate that stair lift to somebody who really does need it.
Is that true, Frank?
Yeah. So if somebody has a stair lift, and it's obviously it's got to be in reconditionable
working
condition,
order,
right?
Yeah.
We have to be able to.
Can't be from 1929.
No, But I mean, as long as it's in good shape, if you have an accessibility lift, then we will work with you to come out there and remove it. And if it, as long as it's not like custom built to the house, we can, you know, help donate that to somebody else that's in need.
Yeah, that was a great piece of information that I learned today, Frank. Thank you very much, because I have run into situations like that where, and again, it can be a negative. Now, and again, there may be somebody who is specifically looking for that too, but again, that kind of shrinks your buyer pool down when you're marketing a property, looking at it from the marketability of a home.
Correct. Like an elevator is built into the house.
Correct.
You know, and it's supposed to be an asset to the house, where the accessibility lifts are they're functional lifts for the people that are currently living there.
And they do make the stairway less accessible to people walking up and down and moving furniture and stuff a little bit.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about generational housing. We were talking about when more than one generation lives in a home. And of course, that impacts both of your businesses, the real estate business and the accessibility business. So are you seeing on the real estate side, Donna, that more families are moving in multi-generations? Because it used to be new immigrants that came to this country.
Correct.
And now it's everybody.
And also in the past, it was the children, if you will, had a home, and mom had her own home, or dad had their own home. And then as they got to a certain age, they would come and move in with the children. What I'm actually seeing is that moms and children and dads are shopping together and buying a home together to live in together.
That's interesting because, you know, I just recently sold my home. I just closed yesterday. And there were three or four people that looked at it where it was maybe somebody in their 30s and their parent, and they were intending to buy it together.
Together.
So the mother-in-law area was very important. Like they wanted two masters. They would prefer that there was another master with an exit outside so people could come and go.
Yes.
And that's a hot seller now?
It is a hot seller, and it's not that readily available. I have clients who are looking for what they called in-law suites or an additional type attached living, and there are just not that many homes that offer that option.
And some subdivisions in the burbs don't allow it, correct?
You know what? Yes, that's true. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to go by municipality. And then there's something that's called an add-on living space. And there's a lot of people wanting to build like a smaller house on their lot to accommodate this type of a situation. But again, that's a city or a township type requirement, whether or not they would allow something like that.
You have a real estate question? Call us in the MegaPros line or text us at 312-981-7200. And Frank, it's interesting to me because I had this misconception. I don't know why, when I was listening to you with David Hochberg, that the accessibility issue was only affecting older Americans, older WGN listeners, when in fact you are in homes taking care of children as well and making sure they have accessibility in their own home.
Yes. Publicly speaking, I mean, the market right now, it's the boomers and it's the elderly. So that's what you see, and that's what's all, you know, driving it at all. But the fact of the matter is we have clients that are as young as, you know, 3-4 years old, and every age span up until centennials. And I would say most of our clients are in that 30 to 45, 50 range.
And tell me how they get financing. How is their help? I mean, because often they're faced with this in a pretty short amount of time and they don't know where to go to get the funding.
Yeah. So it really depends on how your disability came about, but there's a lot of different state and local fundings through the VA. They have their own funding. The state of Illinois is actually really, really good. This is something they do right. They really do take care of people with disabilities. We have a wonderful person on staff. Her name is Kristen Falco. She's a social worker. She can help you navigate those waters, so you can just give us a call and ask for her. She will help you, you know, with any kind of funding that's available. And as far as refinancing a home or something, I would obviously refer it, you know, to David, but if that's the route they want to go. But if they want to finance the product, we do have finance companies, banks that we work with. If you don't qualify for any of the free funding or free assistance, then we have ways of helping you get the financing.
I think I know the answer to this, but when it is an injury at birth or automobile or whatever it might be, does insurance ever pitch in and help and make sure that once that person is to their full ability, how they can move as best as they can move, do they then help with what is needed afterward?
Well, like everything else, when something like that happens, it always moves slow. Mm-hmm. So if you are the victim of an accident, like you didn't cause it, you tend to get more assistance quicker. And generally speaking, it's put into a trust, and then that trust is managed by, you have to go in and ask a judge to release monies to get the things that you need. If you are on the other end of it, then it's really how good is your insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you do have coverage. Sometimes it comes as lump sum, and then hopefully it gets managed properly, you know, throughout your lifetime.
I'm intrigued that you have a social worker on staff because, as mentioned earlier, I mean, isn't that interesting? Because
she is absolutely fantastic. She is the true heart of our company. So
it's a difficult conversation to have with older parents about what their accessibility is and what they might need, because they have a lot of pride and they don't, you know, they will try and get up those stairs to the last, to
their own detriment.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
To where it's dangerous,
because,
and you're like, stay off the stairs.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, because I see my own mother in that situation.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's scary when they live by themselves, because if they do fall, there's nobody there to help.
Right.
But, the message to get across to when you have mom and dad both living together or two people living together and one has a disability, you don't want that person with a disability to put themselves in a situation that's causing the person taking care of them to now also have a disability. Mm-hmm. So, you know, trying to catch somebody falling off stairs or trying to, you know, catch somebody falling into a tub.
Or the physical capability of lifting them up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's huge. So having aids, even if it's something as simple as a $50 grab bar,
right,
having aids in place to help not just the person in need, but the caregiver, to, you know, keep that caregiver from getting injured as well.
Yeah.
So do you do that, put in the grab bars and stuff like
absolutely,
as well? So you're doing everything, not just the stair lifts or the elevators, but we're talking about the grab bars and the ramps.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Everything.
Awesome. Yeah.
That is all access.
Yes, yes.
I mean,
that is what we do. We're a solution-based company. I don't like to think of us as an elevator company. We are helping you find the solution that works for you, because mm-hmm. everybody's disability is different.
And everybody's house is different.
So every solution, what I do for one person, you might have an identical house. Mm-hmm. Or an identical disease, and it's going to be a totally different how we have to approach because of how your life is, how your caregivers are, how that disease is functioning or it disabling you.
Yeah.
So it might be a $50,000 item, or it could be as low as a $500 fix that gives somebody a little more accessibility.
Correct.
That's brilliant, because like you, Donna, I was thinking, elevators and stair lifts and big equipment. Mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking about the small things that make life easier for everyone.
We do thousands of small things every year.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, so if you want to reach out to Frank, it's Access Elevator. You can go to frank@allaboutaccess.com. Donna Sattler is in the studio. She's a real estate agent with RE/MAX at Home. She's donna@donnasattler.com. And we are going to get a check on the news, and then we're going to come back and take your questions. So we've got a few people lined up. Call us on the Mega Pros line at 312-981-7200. This is Home Sweet Home Chicago on 720 WGN. Did they teach us these songs in school, or why do I know all of them? I mean, I know they represent each faction.
Because we had good parents.
They don't think they taught it in school, but I know the words to all of them, too, and I don't know how.
Yeah,
they're
me
just
neither.
Such great tunes.
Yeah, absolutely.
They stick with you.
They represent our military. We are thankful for your service, and we honor all veterans, not just on Thursday, but throughout the weekend here on 720 WGN.
Every day.
Every day, absolutely. It's Home Sweet Home Chicago. David Hochberg has the day off, but you'd never know it because he's texting. MegaPros Joe is texting. And I'm Lisa Dent. I'm just hosting for him today. He'll be back next Saturday. Then, of course, his big debut on the morning show. Bob Surratt's probably like, what is he planning?
Something big, I think.
David's going to fill in on Black Friday, which should be a lot of fun. Chris has been gracious waiting on the phone. We have two experts in on the panel at Home Sweet Home Chicago. Voices and people you know and trust. And that is Donna Sattler, real estate agent with RE/MAX at Home, and Frank Wasilewski with Access Elevator. And on the phone, we've got Chris. And Chris, you want to hit line one for me, Connor? Chris has a question about whether it is worth to switch to a walk-in shower if he wants to sell at some point. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. So I have a 2.5 bath home. One of the bathrooms is just a shower and toilet, what have you, and the other one is a full shower, tub, and toilet. And I was, and the other one's just powder room. But so I was thinking about, you know, originally putting in like maybe type of a jacuzzi tub, and then I was thinking, well, you know what?
Don't do the jacuzzi.
Definitely don't do it.
Right. I decided not to do that. Right. But I was thinking about one of these walk-in tubs, and I was trying to think if, based on my setup, it would be adding or subtracting value to the home at the time that I would eventually want to sell.
I swear you were listening
to our private conversation between...
We were talking about these walk-in tubs, and so, Frank, mm-hmm. take it away.
Yeah, so with the walk-in tub... You have to understand that if you're putting a walk-in tub for accessibility purposes because you want to sit down in the shower or whatever, it is actually one of the worst things that you can do. It's a narrow door. You're narrowing your footprint inside where that walk-in, where you can actually move and stand. But more importantly, most of these walk-in tubs require a 100-gallon or more of hot water. And unless you already have that in, a large tank in your home, you will be upgrading your hot water tank system and to allow that tub to actually fill all the way with water. And with hot water. But you also have to take into consideration the size of the drain going down. So in 99% of the cases that we put these in, we have to enlarge that drain throughout. So from wherever your bathroom is all the way out to the main drain, you need to enlarge that drain so it drains out quickly. Otherwise, you are sitting there in basically cooled off water as it's slowly draining out because you cannot open the door until it's 100% depleted.
And so, Chris, is this for a person who has accessibility issues, or what's the purpose of you wanting to put in a walk-in tub?
Yeah, so we took in my mother-in-law, and she's older, and just because we had originally moved it from a regular tub to a soaker tub, like a 21-inch soaker tub, and she just can't get in that anymore, mm-hmm. and. Just thought that would be more safety. But then I'm thinking, a lot of times if somebody's going to buy a house and they may have, little kids, sometimes they'd want to kneel by the tub and bathe the kids, and then that would be taking that away.
I will tell you this, it is not a selling point.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, what I might offer as a suggestion, I don't know what the level of your mother's accessibility is, but there's those zero threshold. You could actually roll into a shower. You could either build some type of a sitting situation with a hand wand, or there are chairs. I think there's.
They have wall mounted benches too. That
wall mounted benches. So I think there's a lot of different options that would be much less expensive and less cumbersome in a resale.
It'll work out better for your mom to do a walk-in shower with a seat that she can sit in.
Is she in a wheelchair, or is she just...
No.
Okay.
No, just 88 years old.
Yeah, I would go with a fold-down bench option or a built-in tiled bench, one or the other.
Mm-hmm. With the low threshold.
With a low threshold, like a one-inch curb or something that's easy for her to pick her feet up and get over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then it will be easier for you to sell, because I will tell you, I did look at a house that had one of those, and I was like, I don't know, really, I would want that taken out. And Frank, you pointed out to me that sometimes you've had to take out a whole wall to get one of those out or in.
That's the other problem with the walk-in tubs is they are one big assembly. So if your hallways and doorways aren't big enough for it to fit through, you got to get really creative. You either take out the doors and widen the walls, or in one circumstance, we actually had to cut out an exterior portion of the house and get it through.
Can you imagine?
Into the bathroom that way and then rebuild the outside of the house.
That's all overwhelming to me. So here's the deal, Chris. Reach out to Frank, Monday or Tuesday or whatever. He's got people on staff that can give you some of the options that will give your mother-in-law the accessibility she needs and give you a peace of mind and not, put a big dent, so to speak, in your house when you try to sell it.
Yeah, Chris, we'll come out and give you a free assessment, and then you can make a decision from there on all the different options available to you.
Cool. Great. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Hey, have a great day. If you want an answer to a question that you're not sure who to turn to about accessibility, about real estate, the experts are here on Home Sweet Home Chicago, and they're willing to answer your questions. And what I love about this show is you guys are never pushing things. You're like, here's your options, and this will or will not work. And I love the information that
is
gathered here.
That's the way America is built, right? We're all here to make our own choices.
Absolutely. Right. So the MegaPros line is 312-981-7200. Coming back, a few more things that will or will not sell your house. There are some things.
Ooh. You're going to ask me those questions?
I'm going to ask you that question.
Okay. I'm ready.
That's Donna Sattler from RE/MAX at Home. That's coming up on 720 WGN. Home Sweet Home Chicago, honoring veterans. And so thankful that James, a veteran from Chicago, who won the stair lift as a part of the giveaway with Frank Wazalewski and Access Elevator, said, you know what? I thought about it. I'd rather give it to another veteran.
Yes, and it was a again, typical veteran fashion, mm-hmm. thinking that somebody needs it more than they do. And in this case, it may be true. James, you know, can still get up and down the stairs, and his kids want him to do it. So, but
good
I want
exercise.
To give, if I can, take a quick moment and just give big props out to David Hochberg about this campaign, because it was really a. It's something new that WGN wanted to try because they wanted to partner with Access on doing this. And David Hochberg really took this thing on his shoulders and promoted the heck out of it.
Well, I mean,
did a fantastic job.
There's no stopping
him. We reached out to a lot of people. I learned that. There is absolutely no stopping him when he's on a roll. I was getting texts left and right.
Yeah. That's why if you need a home loan and you're having difficulty, there's no stopping him. He will get you into your
home. He'll find a way.
Yeah.
I always say that he is your out-of-the-box solution guy. He's got a solution for every problem.
Well, mm-hmm. And he's honest enough to tell you when you shouldn't do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is what I like.
Yeah.
Me too.
And that's why I wanted to talk to you, Donna Sattler, REMAX agent with REMAX Home, about when you're selling your home. And let's face it, it's a hot selling market. You said that we're still on a trend and there's still people lining up to buy homes. What is one or two things that you see that people go, no, I don't want to buy a house with that?
Probably the number one is water in the basement, threat of water in the basement, cracks that might allow water in the basement. It's the water in the basement.
That's probably why we hear PermaSeal all the time, because it is a big issue in this area, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Water in the basement.
Like in Florida, they don't have basements, I don't think.
So people will just go, nope, and walk out, even though they love the house, they're just not willing to take that on.
It depends. Mm. Usually it's a number one concern.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's one of the biggest selling points right now, other than making your house look Instagram worthy, you know?
That I can get it at all?
That's the key. There's inventory.
Yeah, it's a low inventory market right now. And I think single family homes and multi units are doing much better than the condo townhouse market, although that is very strong too. And I'm only speaking of my area, which is the Northwest Burbs. I know it's different in the city, and I'm not a city realtor. I don't know what's happening in the city, you know, hyper local.
Yeah.
But in my area, you'll find that the single family homes are doing very, very well.
Big yards? People want the big land to take care of, or are they tired of mowing the lawn and hiring a service?
You know what? My area is mostly up to an acre.
Okay.
You know, so they're nice yards, but people are getting tired of doing all the work. And I think the older you get, the less
I think we're becoming a low-maintenance society.
Yeah, and we're becoming a low-maintenance society. And I think the older that you get, too, you just don't want to deal with all that.
Mm-hmm. Even though you want space, you just don't want to take all of that on.
You don't want to take it on, yeah. And that's why why there's landscapers and, you know, other people who can help you to do things like that.
So, there are pooper scoopers who come and clean up your
dog
poop. I
know. My neighbor has one, and I said, I can't believe you hired somebody to come and pick up your dog poop for you.
Okay, I'm guilty of that, too.
I just leave it in the yard.
But with three big dogs and a pig, they take it away as well. That's the thing.
I can't imagine. I just have one dog.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not that just that they clean it up, but they take it away. And in July, you're very thankful for that because it's not sitting in a bag in the garbage can for any extended amount of time. So you're right. We are becoming a low-maintenance society.
And you have the only good car-riding pig in America.
That's right. I moved the pig last week to the farm on Wednesday.
And you think she's kidding.
No, I'm not. I showed them pictures of the pig in the back of the SUV like, hey, where are we going? I rescue potbelly pigs, but just one. So I heard something when you were talking to David over the past few weeks and about Veterans Day and accessibility and that type of thing. And I found it interesting that family members are now choosing to pitch in and help out an older parent to keep them in their home by buying them a stair lift or purchasing things that they might not be able to afford on their own. Those little changes you can make in a home that can keep mom or dad in their home as long as they're safe, and the kids are paying for it, or the grandkids are paying for it, or in one case I heard you say the neighborhood was paying for
it. Yeah, we've had that. We've actually had that a couple times.
Absolutely wonderful.
Honestly, I just had this great visit yesterday with Susan and Schomburg, and her friend Ron flew all the way out here from California to meet me there in order to do an assessment because Susan hasn't been upstairs in over a year. So you have a friend that's buying a friend a lift for the holidays just so she can get upstairs.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. I love this time of year. And I love my business. We get stories like this all the time, and you never hear enough of it on the news.
Yeah.
Frank Wazalewski. Because that's a wonderful story.
It is.
Access elevator. And it is true, because if you have the means and you have someone that you see is suffering or can't use their house or can't live fully because they have challenges when it comes to physical mobility, and you have the means, why wouldn't you? So I would think that your story, every time it hit me, I was like, I would pitch in for somebody like that.
It is really cool. It's amazing what I get to see, and I wish more of America got to see it. We might be
at least hear about it.
A little bit more kinder to each other. Yeah.
And what about the VA? Do they pitch in on this stuff?
The VA actually does. I mean, like anything government, it's slow, but they do a great job of taking care of veterans as long as the veterans apply for the benefits. So if you're a veteran, go apply. They will help you.
They don't know. I mean, people just think that it's not available, so
no,
they don't even
not
try.
They don't know. They know.
Oh,
but they think that the guy they served with needs it more, and I don't want the benefits to take away my needs to take away from him. Or her. And so it's that go apply. There's enough money to go around. Yep. The government is very, very good about it.
What about home loans these days? Are you pretty easy to get? Depends on your credit.
Well, that's a question that's relative. Back in the day when we had this big financial crisis, 2006, you didn't need to provide anything. You didn't have to have a job, and you could qualify for a $600,000 home.
Mm-hmm.
The restrictions have become much, much tighter, much more reasonable. So if you are qualified, and that's why you would call David, you can get loans. They're out there. They're servicing the loans. They're getting closed on time for the most part. I mean, we've had some delays. I work mostly on the seller side, so you have to be very careful in evaluating offers by evaluating their lender as well.
I got a quick question before we take a break and head to the newsroom. I know selling my house, I didn't want people who are not pre-qualified to come into my house. I don't know if that's unique to me because I'm somewhat of a public person, and I just felt like I don't want people just coming in looking around.
I don't want people coming into my house who aren't approved, who can't afford to buy the house either.
So if you are a realtor, is that something you demand of your clients who would be looking at houses? Like, hey, you got to go get pre-approved. We're not just going to go looking at houses that you might not be able to afford.
Absolutely. And sometimes people just are nosy and want to go see houses. I mean, if you're serious, let's show that you're serious. Let's get you pre-approved and make it happen.
Because if they're nosy, they're just wasting your time as a realtor, right?
Gas is pretty expensive to be carting people around on tours.
All right, we're going to get a check from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up next. Thank you so much for being a part of Home Sweet Home Chicago. I'm appreciative
to
both of you.
Thanks for filling in, Lisa. It was awesome.
Oh, great.
It was great.
David Hochberg is back next week.